The Hanging Valley by Peter Robinson. Read by Neil Pearson. It was the most exhilarating feeling in the world. His thighs ached, his calves throbbed, but he'd made it. Neil Fellows, wages clerk from Pontefract, stood at the summit of Swaineshead Fell. True, the fell was only 1,600 feet high, but Neil wasn't getting any younger, and the crowd back at Baxwell's Machine Tools had taken the mickey something cruel when he told them he was going fell-walking in the Dales. But now, as he stood there in the thin air, his heart beating like a steam piston, he was the one to laugh. He pushed his wire-rimmed glasses back up to the bridge of his nose and adjusted the straps of his rucksack. He'd been climbing for over an hour in perfect late May weather, and now, looking back down the fell, he could make out Swaineshead Village, whence he'd come. He easily picked out the whitewashed front of the White Rose Inn, founded 1605, and across the beck, the lichen-covered roof of the Greenock Guesthouse, where he'd spent a comfortable night. He turned to take in the panorama. To the south, where the landscape hardened into the Pennines, and to the southeast, where Swainsdale itself lay, its valley bottom hidden from view. Then he noticed that below him, further down the slope, there was a small wooded valley. His guidebook hadn't mentioned anything of particular interest on the route he'd chosen, but Neil thought he might well find some interesting wild flowers along the shaded banks of its beck. True, it would mean an extra mile or so, and an unplanned climb back out again, but the sides didn't appear too steep, and so, balancing his pack, he struck out. Soon, the rough tussocks underfoot gave way to springier grass, and when he entered the woods, bluebells swayed in the breeze, and the smell of wild garlic filled his nostrils, making him feel light-headed. He heard the beck before he saw it between the trees. It made a light bubbling sound, joyful and carefree, and he felt the valley had a truly magical quality. He eased off his rucksack and laid it on the grass as, in the woods across the water, he noticed a wild flower, about a foot high, with red-brown sepals and pale yellow petals. It could be a rare lady's slipper orchis. He decided to have a closer look. The beck wasn't wide, and there were plenty of stepping stones. But as he neared the flower, he became aware of another smell, harsher and more cloying than the garlic. He wondered what it could be. Close to the flower, which definitely was a lady's slipper, some branches lay on the ground, blocking his way. He started pulling them aside. But he didn't get very far. For there, under a makeshift cover, lay the source of the smell. A human body. In the instant before he turned to vomit into the shrubs, Neil noticed two things. That it had no face, and that it seemed to be moving. Its flesh was literally crawling. Pausing only to rinse his mouth out in the beck, he left his rucksack where it was and ran back to Swaineshead. When he burst through the door of the White Rose, Neil looked around desperately for a familiar face, and seeing Sam Greenock at his usual table with the Collier brothers and John Fletcher, he hurried over.
"There's a body on the fell. Dead. We must do something."
"Calm down, mate," said Sam. "Get your breath back."
He called over to the barman.
"Freddy, get a move on, a large brandy for Mr. Fellows."
Freddy Metcalf carried the drink over, and though he wasn't used to strong drink, Neil drained the brandy down.
"Oh, it's terrible," he said.
"Face is all eaten away, and the whole thing was moving like waves. We've got to do something. Where's the police station?"
"Nearest Elmthorpe," said Metcalf. "That's nigh on 10 mile off."
"And there'll be no bloody use," said Sam. "This is CID business."
"All right, reckon that's right. Well, in that case, lad, it'll be that chap in Eastvale I'll be after. It's one who were out here last time.
Inspector Gristhorpe."
But when the call came through, Chief Inspector Gristhorpe